access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You know, a young man had spoke to Donald Gray Barnhouse, a great Bible teacher, and he said, "I'd give the world to be able to teach the Bible like you." And Dr. Barnhouse looked him straight in the eye, and he said, "Good, because that's exactly what it's going to cost you. You have to give up everything." The ministry needs to be a priority in my life, and that ministry is teaching the Word of God. What did Jesus say to Peter? "Feed my sheep." He said, in fact, twice. "Tend my sheep once, feed my sheep twice." It was important. And so here, they were waiting upon God when prayer and the ministry of the word. Look at verse 5 here in Acts 6. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." All I can say is praise God that Stephen and Philip are the main characters for the next couple chapters, because not these other guys, I can't say their names, right? Notice that they didn't pick 4 Hebrew Jews and 3 Hellenistic Jews, or 4 Hellenistic Jews and 3 Hebrew Jews. These were all Hellenistic Jews. They all had Greek names. I like this. You know what happened here? They didn't allow Satan's schemes to work to divide the church there. And again, over the years, I've seen Satan's schemes cause all kinds of trouble. We need to be open to God's Spirit, to be sensitive to the needs of others, and see what love will do. And this was not done by popular opinion. The apostles agreed. They were confirming this was of God. This is what needs to happen. They prayed over these men. They laid hands on them. These men were appointed for the work. And like I said, Stephen and Philip are going to be used mightily by God. But understand, they all 7 of them were waiting on tables. And Stephen and Philip didn't say, "Well, you know, I'm going to use this as a stepping stone. I want something big because I want to be somebody." No, it was just faithful and waiting on tables. And God opened the doors. You know, it's interesting. Of the apostles, think about it. We don't know a whole lot about the apostles, do we? But here are 2 men, not apostles, Philip and Stephen, and yet a whole chapter is given to each of them. Isn't that interesting? God uses faithful people for all kinds of things. And people here struggle with this. They don't like the lower positions. And I hate to use that word, lower positions, but that's kind of the way some people look at things. I don't want to clean the church. I don't want to be an usher. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I want to be up front. You know what? If that's your attitude, you don't belong anywhere. Because I guarantee you that someone is going to say something that's going to offend you. Someone's going to do something that's going to drive you crazy. And you're going to go, "That's it. I can't take it anymore." Get used to it. That's just ministry, man. And if your heart's not ready for it, don't get involved. You know, for me, I look for people for ministry that are just serving. They're just serving. I don't even tell them anything. They're out there, they see garbage in the parking lot, they pick it up. They see garbage in the church, they pick it up. They just start serving. I don't have to tell them to do anything. They don't have to have a title, you know, man who picks up garbage out in the parking lot title. You know, you don't need a title. You just serve. That really is what it's all about. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Wow. And I like Zechariah 4:10. Do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You know, yeah, just because it's a small beginning, rejoice. Hey, God is using me. Think about it. The creator of heaven and earth is going to use me for something. Even in the workplace, outside the church, that's a ministry that God has you in. I can tell you, some of my fondest memories as a young Christian was back in Illinois setting up chairs for the church. Every Sunday, every Thursday, setting up chairs, taking them down. In this one building that we rented, we had to crawl up and climb up into the attic and hand chairs down. It was one of the most wonderful times of fellowship ever. It was awesome. You make ministry whatever you want it to be. You can have joy doing it. Or you could be like Eeyore. Everything's bad, you know, it's just bad. No, it's not. It's great to serve the Lord. In verse 7, it says, you know, the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And here's the wonderful thing. The church grew. Why? Because the apostles were free to teach the word of God. The church grew because of the unity in the church. They saw beyond themselves and towards a greater calling of God. And it touched the lives of others around them. They were a witness. Also, priests were obedient to the faith. Priests in Jerusalem. I wonder who those were. I don't know. I kind of have the idea that maybe some of them were in the temple when the Lord gave up his spirit the day he was crucified, right? And what happened? When Jesus gave up his spirit, we're told the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. You know, this veil in the temple was some 60 feet wide, 30 feet high, between 10 and 18 inches thick. They said it took 100 priests just to hang it. I don't know what some of those guys were thinking in there, because that was the time of the evening sacrifice. So the priests were there. You know how it is when you tear a shirt, the sound it makes? Imagine what this sounded like from top to bottom. Some of these priests, maybe were there, are now getting saved. One of the issues that, you know, we've seen lately is Satan loves to attack. There's no doubt about it. And I think many times we're just not prepared for what he's going to throw at us. And we're taken in by these things. One writer said, when Satan does not succeed in stopping the church with a frontal assault, he attacks from within. This usually happens subtly. An invitation not sent, a job unnoticed, a critical comment overheard, jealousy over something that really does not matter, like the size of a ham slice. When the murmuring begins, the devil smiles. Ken Taylor, in his Romans for the Family Hour, relates the following story. And I found this really interesting. Listen to what he said. One hot day, a family traveling down the highway between Johnstown and Jamestown stopped at Farmer Jones' place to ask for a drink of water, which he gladly gave them. Where are you headed? He asked them. We're moving from Johnstown to Jamestown to live, they told him. Can you tell us what the people there are like? Well, what kind of people did you find where you lived before? Farmer Jones asked. Oh, they were the very worst kind, the people said. They were gossipy and unkind and indifferent. We're glad to move away. Well, you know, I'm afraid you'll find the same in Jamestown, Farmer replied. Well, the next day another car stopped and the same conversation took place. These people were moving to Jamestown, too. But what kind of neighbors will we find there? They asked. Well, said Farmer Jones, what kind of neighbors did you have where you lived before? Oh, they were the very best. They were so kind and considerate that it almost broke our hearts to have to move away. Well, you'll find exactly the same kind again, Farmer Jones replied. You see, when believers are unhappy and begin to murmur, the first place to look for their problem is their own hearts. Christians who are unhappy at their last church or town or job are unhappy where they are now. And if they feel they've just have just cause for criticism, well, they should express it to the right people in the appropriate way. They have to avoid murmuring or gossiping and have to be willing to be part of the solution. How true that is. You know, again, I don't think we're as wise as serpents. We need to be in the days we're living in. What's our goal? What are we seeking to do? Do you ever think about that? Isn't our goal to build up the body of believers and to bring the lost to the saving faith in Jesus. Isn't that our whole mission? It is really not to change our political system. I know that'll offend some people. Sorry, don't mean to. But I never saw Paul say, you know, we need a new Caesar because this one's bad. This one doesn't deliver pizza. We want one that does. I don't know. Whatever the case may be. Sorry. It's getting late. But you never see Paul doing that, do you? What was Paul's main mission? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that our mission, guys? It is easy to get distracted and go down rabbit trails. But the cause is Christ. This message going forward. And when disunity comes, what happens? It's all about us and not the message. It's not about Jesus anymore. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. He's just serving the Lord faithfully, waiting on tables, dispensing food and other things for the widows. And God's working through Stephen. God's moving. God's working. The people are stirred. Some to the faith, well, and some against the faith, as we're going to see. And understand, when God is working, there's always the opposition trying to stop the work of God. And that's important to remember. You know, right after 9/11, and I've told you this before, someone had called me, and I don't even know who this person was, and asked if I could, they were going to have a prayer meeting and sharing at Washington Park. And they asked if I would share. And I was like, sure, I'll share. And I went up there and I shared, you know, from Jeremiah, I know the thoughts I think towards you, towards the Lord, and trying to give people, you know, hope in the Lord that He's in control. Because, everyone was devastated. I mean, kids were crying. I don't even know if they knew why they were crying, but they knew their parents were so upset that they were upset too. And so I got done, you know, and I prayed and, you know, just gave them hope in Jesus. And a lady came up to me, screaming at me, "Who gives you the right to tell me about Jesus? I didn't come here for that." I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, that's all I have for you. It's only about Him. He's the only one that gives you peace and hope." And, you know, when you see a pack of dogs and you throw a rock and you hit one, you know which one you hit by the noise it makes. And I must have touched a nerve in this person, trying to stop me from going forward. After she left, there were moms coming up holding their children saying, "Could you pray for us?" It was amazing what God was doing that night. Don't let Satan stop you. You know, we have a mentality with our Christian faith that, you know, hey, if God is in it, everything's going to be fine. Go study the life of Paul, please. The guy's shipwrecked, what was it, 3 times. He was beaten with lashes, you know. It was a tough ministry for the guy. He was doing the work of God. It's not always easy. But I truly know what God has called me to do. Do you know what God has called you to do? That's what you need to find. Lord, what do you want me to do for you? And then go for it. Look at verse 9. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freemen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now, these groups, these men, are probably from 3 different synagogues and causing trouble. The synagogue of the freedmen were probably the descendants of Jewish slaves that were captured by Pompey in 63 BC and taken to Rome. And then later they were released and they formed the Jewish community there. Then the synagogue of the Cyrenians and Alexandrians were 2 major cities of North Africa. Very large Jewish populations there. And then the synagogue of Cilicia in Asia, which were Roman provinces in Asia Minor. Also, Tarsus is where Paul was from, in Cilicia. So that was his hometown. So probably Paul, it's very possible he attended their synagogue, and maybe he's there in Jerusalem. I mean, he was there for the events surrounding the trial of Stephen. We're told of that in Acts 7:58 and Acts 8:1. So it's very possible he was there with this debate with Stephen. And I'm sure Paul or Saul at this time loved to debate people. Saul was a brilliant, brilliant man. And we'll learn more about him as we read through the book of Acts. But here's Stephen debating these educated men. How did he do that? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave him the words to say, brought to remembrance those things he needed to share. And these guys are losing the debate. And what happens when you start losing? You get really mad, don't you? Start yelling, screaming. Ugh. Look at verse 11. Then they secretly introduced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Now, think about it. If they could answer Stephen, don't you think they would have? You know, "Stephen, you're wrong, and this is why. This is what the scriptures say." But they couldn't answer him, and they just got mad. I've seen that before. And not only were they mad, but they lied. They get false witnesses to testify against Stephen. And isn't that what the religious leaders did with Jesus? We're told in Matthew 26, the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" Wow. You know, again, these are the religious leaders. And they knew they were bringing false witnesses. Their conscience must have been dead. They couldn't feel anymore. Think about it. The deception that was going on here. And like they did with Jesus, they stirred up the people against here Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin, the 71-member Jewish religious council, 70 members plus the high priest. And, you know, what they accused Stephen of was, you know, probably half true. They just twisted it to put Stephen down. And, the picture is pretty interesting. Council members are kind of growling and ugly-faced, angry and mad. And we're told that Stephen had the face of an angel. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Like Steve over there. Let's see that smile again, Steve. There it is. Just like an angel. That's the picture I have. It's a bad picture. All right. Now, think about this, guys. When people are angry at us, how do we look at them? We got to be careful, because the flesh, doesn't it like to lash out? You know, it took me a while with Facebook to get that point. The Lord kept knocking on my head, you know, because there were family members and stuff that loved to push my buttons. And they knew it. They knew what would get me going. And now I just don't respond to it. And the reason I don't respond is because there's really no point to respond. It's not like they're looking for information. They are just pushing my button. And I'm not going to argue face-to-face or on social media, because I've never argued anyone into the kingdom of God. I will share with people. If they want to hear, I can share. And then when I'm done, if they can agree with me or disagree with me, they can take the information and evaluate it. But if it's going to be a heated debate, there's no point, because that gets you nowhere. And for Stephen, man, he had such a close relationship with God, his face shined the glory of God. That's what we see with Moses, right? In Exodus 34, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. It glowed. That's what happens when we spend time out in the sun, right? Our face glows. Sometimes we get tanned and sometimes we get burned. You know, it just depends on our skin color. My wife gets very, very red. I get very, very dark. But it's spending time in the sun. And when we spend time with the Son of God, in his presence, with his reading his word, in prayer, with other believers, you know what? He will shine through us. What are you spending time with? What are you filling your life with? If I went to McDonald's every single day and all three of my meals were from McDonald's, you would see the results of what I put into my body. And the same is true with us as Christians. What are you putting into your life? What are you filling your life with? Because it will be manifested outwardly. People will see. You will either shine for Jesus or you won't, you know? And Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. I like that. You know, and again, face just glowing. And I like Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, you know, he's talking to his ministry students. He said, men, when you teach on heaven, let there always be a glow on your face, a gleam in your eye, and a smile on your lips. When you teach on hell, your normal face will do fine. You know, hopefully our normal face is shining too for Jesus, right? Then when people see us, they see something really different than us. As we move into Acts chapter 7, we're going to see Stephen defend his faith before the Sanhedrin in a very powerful way. In fact, some of the things Stephen tells us about the history of the Jews, we don't get out of the Old Testament. Stephen gives us some insight into what was going on back then. And Stephen is not trying to defend himself. He's not trying to get out of this situation. He's trying to lay out a witness of Jesus to these men. And understand, these men had a lot of power. They could put you to death. But that was not his concern. He rested in the Lord. You know, Bruce put it like this. He said, such a speech as this was by no means calculated to secure an acquittal before the Sanhedrin. It is rather a defense of pure Christianity as God's appointed way of worship. You know, that has to be our witness to a lost world, that our face is that of an angel, at peace because we're walking with God and His love, His nature that is manifested in us will be manifested also through us, that people will see Jesus. Isn't that our heart's desire? I mean, my heart was broken when I looked at the news yesterday and I saw the murder of those high school students. One of the, I think it was a gym teacher, or one of the teachers jumped in front of the other students to protect them and he was killed. And you think, Lord, this world is getting so, so wicked. There is no sanctity of life anymore. You know, we can murder 63 million babies in the womb and not even blink. And we see these atrocities and we blame it on guns. And I tell you what, look in the mirror. Don't look at the gun. It has nothing to do with the gun. It has everything to do with us. And the farther you move away from God, this is what you see. Study the history of Israel. Read the book of Judges. The end of Judges, I just want to tear those pages out because they're so horrible. But it says that there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's the problem. When you don't have a king, Almighty God in control, knowing that you were created by Him for a purpose in this world to worship Him, and to shine for Him, if you don't understand that, if you think that you are just random chance happening and that life has no purpose, then what's the difference if you kill someone, right? And that's the mentality. These kids don't understand that they are special to the Lord, that God loves them. And that's the message we need to get to them. What we try to do as Christians is clean them up. No, that's not our mission. We're to go fishing. We're to bring the gospel message to them. The Holy Spirit will clean them up, just like He's cleaning up our lives. But there's so many people that are hurting them. And we need to give them the truth. We can't be afraid of the way they look, how they behave, because didn't God just bring them across our path? Never forget that. There is no chance happenings in our lives. God is orchestrating things. And sometimes it's hard. But you know what? Like Stephen, here he is in front of this group of people that could put him to death, and he's going to just share Jesus with them. May we have that heart. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this evening, and Lord, we know how frail we are. And yet, Lord, we also know that by the empowering of your Spirit, we can bring forth the gospel message in a powerful way. We see it in the life of Peter here in Acts. A man who was afraid to even acknowledge that he knew you now is speaking forth in power the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to have that faith, that power in our lives that we can shine for you. We thank you, Lord, and we just ask that you would use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.